Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Each of us has the choice to either accept the Bible as the authority in religion or ignore it and follow whatever we choose. But we must bear the consequences of our choice. And while the Bible is discarded by many, it remains the verbally inspired, infallible, inerrant, all-sufficient, and authoritative Word of God. Therefore, in all matters pertaining to our service to God, we must ask, what does the Bible teach? We must respect the authority of God as given in His Word. In our first lesson, we learned that the nature of this authority is supreme. It is all-sufficient. And it is universal in application to all people, everywhere, in every generation. We today live under the authority of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and His authority shall continue until He comes again. Furthermore, there is unity involved in His authority. And by this we simply mean that the same authority is behind everything He ever said or did. There is as much authority behind one command as another. Now, to be sure, there are some things that the Bible teaches that are more crucial than others as far as the immediate consequences are concerned. But disobedience to the will of God, as it applies to us, is sinful. And it is just as sinful to disobey one command as it is to disobey another. No man or group of men have the right to declare anything that God has revealed and directed and commanded and instructed to be non-essential and unimportant. Man only shows his arrogance and his depravity in his pride when he attempts to stand in judgment of God's commands and rank them according to what he considers to be important when they are there to be obeyed and not ignored. James 2, 10 and 11 tells us, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' said also, 'Do not kill.' Now if thou commit no adultery, and yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." Now James is not saying that a murderer is also an adulterer. He is simply saying that when one is guilty of any evil deed, the law of God is violated, and the guilty stands condemned. This is because the authority that forbids one forbids the other. Many religious people bemoan the decrease of respect for the moral teaching of the Lord, and they will try to persuade others to do or not to do certain things, they say, because the Bible so teaches. But what they do not realize is how they have already undermined respect for the Bible by contending that some of God's commands are important but others can be ignored. There is just as much authority behind the command to be baptized as there is behind the prohibition of adultery. There is the same authority behind repentance as there is not to steal. The teaching of the Lord on the Lord's Supper is from the same source as the command not to murder. When you have taught and believed, as most of the religious world does, that you do not have to obey God in baptism or repentance or the Lord's Supper, you can hardly expect people to regard the moral teaching of the Bible to carry much weight. But the same God, the same Christ, the same Holy Spirit is behind the entire teaching of the Bible. And people who respect deity will respect what deity has taught, and they will cease their pick-and-choose type of religion. I personally get very aggravated to hear some of my brethren talk about how we can learn so much from the denominations. Oh, my dear friend, one of the reasons the church is suffering today from digression and apostasy is because too many have already learned too much from the denominations, and not enough from the Bible. Some have imitated their methods until they now imitate their message. We need to understand that the same methods that might promote error are not necessarily what is successful or acceptable in promoting truth. some have learned so much from denominations that whenever false doctrines are taught and then exposed, we hear the wail, "That's just your interpretation." That is the denominational dodge of truth, and some of my brethren have adopted it in recent years. We could set aside anything that we do not want on that basis. Now, one may interpret and the other misinterpret. After all, to interpret simply means to get the meaning God has given. But God has not given a confused and divided message. He is not the author of confusion. When two people interpret the Bible, they'll be together and they'll be united. When they are divided, it is because one, possibly both, misinterpret. And why should brethren want to follow the denominations when denominations are constantly dodging the truth with one sort of dodge after another? Our real problem is not so much the problem of interpretation anyway. It is the problem of the will to abide by what God has taught. We ought to be like Daniel when he was commanded to eat foods that he could not lawfully eat as a Jew. He knew the law of God. That was not the problem. The question before him was whether he would obey God or not. That's all that he had to decide. And this is the way most of us in the church must decide. We know the truth, but how many prefer to learn from the denominations and think some way they can get around God's word? But the authority of Christ abides through it all, and one part just as well as all the other parts. Furthermore, the authority of the Bible is timeless. Christ said that he would be with his disciples always, Matthew 28:20. His authority did not end when he ascended into heaven. We shall be judged by his word, John 12:48. We're hear people today talk about the need to update and modernize and streamline the Christian faith so it will be relevant and applicable to today's man. Some even denounce the faith of Christ as useful only to the first century. They say the world has now become more mature and needs something more mature, and they clamor for change. Friend, if the world has become more mature, then we would be better served to return to infancy again. What people really want is religion that lets them do their own thing without restriction. The doctrine of Christ is just what all people need, now and forever. The trouble is that too few are willing to listen and to learn. And even some of my twisted brethren have suggested that we're answering questions nobody is asking. Well, friend, we're answering questions that everybody ought to be asking. And we shall not change the answers to fit the questions. Men need to change their questions if the truth appears relevant unto them. What the Lord has said and what he taught in A.D. 30 and in 33 is applicable right now. And it will still be taught until he returns. The gospel that saved our parents will save our grandchildren. The gospel does not change according to the whims and the trends and the fancies and the traditions and the customs and the drifts of men. People need to learn that running from truth does not change the truth. Rebellion against the truth does not alter the truth, not in the least. Substitutions and disobedience does not invalidate one thing. Do you know why so many of the so-called modern speech translations are finding such a market today? It's not because they're superior translations. It's not because they teach the truth. They are more easily understood is not the reason. It is because the so-called truth is changed in instance after instance to accommodate what people already believe or what some modernist or doctor of denominationalism wants the Bible to say. Men have rewritten the Bible to suit themselves and pawned it off as the Scripture. And some of my own brethren have no more respect for the truth of God than to uphold such things and call them reliable Bibles. We don't need another Bible. We need to learn and follow the Bible we have. We have no objection to updated translations, provided they're translations. But we are offended and stand opposed to these products of merchandise called Bibles that distort and pervert Scripture. The Word of God endures, and it will do so forever. Not because some of my scholarly brethren help it to be that way, however. They have joined the devil's forces to present a new book with a different message that, when followed, will produce a different people than the people God wants. The biblical authority is timeless, and we should respect it as that. And the Bible authority, friend, it is final. In light of the previously mentioned characteristics, one would expect this characteristic also. When an authority is supreme and all-sufficient and universal, essential in all of its parts and timeless, how else could it be anything except final? The Bible revelation settles all questions and all matters. There's nothing higher to which one can appeal. This is God's final and complete word. And absurd and amazing as it sounds, we have been in the presence of some who have declared, scholarship is the final test, to which I say as kindly as I can, that is so much rubbish. Human scholarship has battered against the Bible through the years as much as any other source of enmity the Scriptures have faced. Paul warned against the philosophers and the pseudo-scientists. He warned against following human tradition. The so-called wise men of our time care little to nothing for the revealed truth of God. If we want to know the truth, then we must be as the whole and noble Bereans of the past, whom Paul commended for searching the Scriptures daily to see what was so, Acts 17 and verse 11. The so-called scholarly theologian is one of the last resources anybody ought to place their confidence in matters religious. Away with the doctrine that we follow the so-called best minds in the brotherhood and the men of stature, as some pitiable brethren have described them. First, often those who are called the best minds are nothing but educated egotists who think they know better than God. And secondly, usually those who contend to follow the best minds are those who consider themselves to be the best minds. Third, men of stature, well, who are they? Some are so impressed with what they consider superior academic scholarship, the kind of doctors that don't do anybody any good. Usually they are the seminary-trained professors who are in the foreground leading the church into apostasy. We have seen some of these brethren with the so-called best minds go so far from respect from God's truth that we have no confidence in them whatsoever. Some no longer even believe in the existence of God. We cannot emphasize too much the importance of the knowledge of the Bible and the respect for what it teaches as the divine authority in matters governing the relationship between God and man. And regardless of what one does with it, or what you say about it, or what I think concerning it, the Bible remains exactly what God says it is. Someday we all shall be brought to that realization anyway. Happy will be that person who has shown his love for the truth and followed the Bible. Woe be to those who have set it aside in any way, whatsoever be their reason. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.